Broadcasting 2.0 for June 22nd, 2024, episode 183, Chain of Fraud. What's going on? It's Saturday, but it is time once again for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything you need to know that's going on in podcasting, everything happening at podcastindex.social, and there's a lot going on there. Podcast Index, and of course, the namespace. We are the only boardroom that meets on Saturday when Fridays don't work out. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who bakes more namespace tags than Betty Crocker does cookies. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
Hey, sugar. I'm glad you're back.
Hey, baby.
Oh, that's a homecoming traveler.
Yeah, that's a homecoming. Yeah. Sorry about last Friday and yesterday, but here we are. We could not have a board meeting skip 2 weeks in a row, so we just moved it over to Saturday.
We're gonna have a 2 week skipper coming up soon again.
Oh, that's right, because you're going on vacation, right? You're actually going out. You're leaving.
I am.
You're leaving.
We're just, you know, we've been around so long that now we're just starting to, you know. We're cruising.
We're getting jaded.
Yeah.
Podcasting 2.0. I mean, it's the first thing we could chop off the list. You know, I got a life. Exactly.
I've been reading this book called, this fantastic book, highly recommended, called Lab 257.
Okay.
Do you know this book?
No, I don't.
Do you know the Plum Island?
Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know all about Plum Island. I think that's where we got, Lyme disease from.
Yeah, it's a few things. Yes, West Nile virus, a whole lot of
Ebola, a couple other things. Yeah,
it's the gift that keeps on giving. And but this book is about the history of Plum Island, and it's like it started off as a germ warfare facility under the army. Then it transitioned to an animal virus research lab.
Yeah, so they say.
And like, yeah, so they say, right? And so this book. It goes through all like, you know, FOIA requests and all these declassified documents to like what really happened in, you know, during this time frame. And then what's obvious is it starts out as strict containment, you know, all of these rigid policies about airflow and positive ventilation pressures. And you have to every time you come in and out of a hot environment, you got to take a shower. So they were showering like 7 times a day, and and then like by about 10 years into it,
I don't need to take a shower.
They're eating lunch. They're eating lunch right next to an open thing of, you know, Rift Valley fever.
Yeah, exactly. Like buying the stuff at the wet market.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, eating bats. The whole thing. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's hard to keep it up, you know.
Yeah, so I was in the Netherlands for a full week. That was pretty interesting. Or actually, Friday to Friday, to be exact about it. It was nice. Yeah, it was nice. You know, I went to visit my daughter, but I also did a no agenda meetup, and it was nice. Lots of podcasting people. It was nice. It was cool.
Did you run into anybody who was from the Podcasting 2.0 sphere?
No.
Okay.
No, everyone has a podcast though, if that counts. Everybody seems to have one.
You didn't run into the mysterious Satoshis.stream?
No, although I did, they made me an official node runner. Forgot who that, the node runner guys. Are you familiar with this group?
That sounds really familiar.
Yeah. So I guess it's people who run full nodes and they have podcasts and they gave me it's like a little knighting ceremony, and they give me this pin, and now I'm a node runner. Yeah, I felt very special. I felt like a node runner.
I kind of feel a little left out. I mean, I want to be a node runner. I run a node.
Yes, you do.
I want the pin.
The pin is cool. Yeah. Anyway, so I've been trying to keep up with everything, and before we bring in our guests, should we talk about some namespace stuff? Because it seems like you've had a lot of updates, and I don't know if you're up to it.
Sure, I'm up to it.
Well, then we need to do the jingle.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Here's the stuff that I wrote down.
Okay.
I wrote down LN addresses, which seemed like a big one. I wrote down boost UUID. I wrote down improve the description of splits and fees, which is seems like one we might want to skip again. And then some stuff that is being proposed. Medium equals radio and events, which is coming out of the, I think that's a lot of true fans push from those two. Have you seen these proposals?
Yeah. And Nathan's involved in that too.
Right.
Nathan keeps pushing out some new stuff. So let's wait to talk about LN address until our guests arrive.
Okay. Oh, that'll be pertinent. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Let's see.
Boost UUID. I saw that. Where'd that come from? What is that exactly?
So that's an older pull request from DovDOS.
Mm.
Let me just go through what has been added lately.
Okay, that's just probably a better idea.
Just to kind of give some context here. Let me pull up the namespace real quick. Not prepared to go into the. I didn't expect us to go in that quick.
So. Well, we've been avoiding it, and you know, it's a Saturday, so we might as well just take the pain now.
Let's see. Changes made. Here we go. So, yeah. It's so far with phase 7, and some of this goes back to May. But just phase 7, so far we've formalized the chat tag, podcast colon chat, the publisher tag with the associated publisher medium, and the added the course medium to added the course medium to the list, of which Alex has now added course and publisher and the corresponding publisher L and course L to the schema for that will be sucked into the next version of Podping that will enable these mediums.
That's C-O-U-R-S-E for people who want a course as in a course you can take. And so that, what is the main difference of how a course is displayed, or what are the main parts of that namespace of that tag or that medium?
Yeah. The course is about, the course is a, you know, like a educational thing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take a course, like what Barry from Podhome does.
Right.
So courses.
So is there anything specific that needs to be specified in course, or is it just telling you what it is? I mean, is there a different way of displaying the episodes? Is there, because I've seen Barry's thing, you have to pay to actually get it, right?
Yeah. You would have. The course medium just gives a hint to the app.
It shouldn't just be medium equals paywall, or
no? I guess you could.
We should probably have that too. Might as well medium equals paywall, everybody.
Medium equals you can't have it. Yeah, right. So the course would be something like, you know, the app just needs to know, okay, what order do I need to display these in?
I guess that's my question is what are the display options for a course?
I'm thinking about, you know, there's these sites like, is it Udemy? Is that one? Am I thinking of something else? Udemy, online courses, learn anything on your own schedule. This like there's a lot of these kind of sites where you learn a course, and it may have what is in the description may be. End up being beside it as a follow along, or the lyrics, you know, excuse me, not lyrics, but the transcript, maybe, you know, handled in a special way. Now, you know, instead of like with a medium equals music, the transcript is lyrics. With the medium equals course, the transcript might be the outline of, you know, the course. Mm-hmm. Or it might look for certain, they say, okay, I'm expecting as part of this course, there's going to be links that are important to it there where I can go. And like the funding link, maybe the paywall, like you said. I mean, we don't know yet, but it seemed appropriate to give it its own medium since it's its own media type.
Okay. But doesn't that need to be defined?
Well, yeah, I guess, but it doesn't mean, but also we never defined music as far as like the details of that. I mean, music was like, we all kind of figured okay. it would be yeah, liner notes or in the description yeah. transcript is the lyrics, but nobody, but there's not, that's not designed anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, I think this is one of those things where you'd have to, where we have to see what people do.
Okay, fair
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, Chad F. Basically, whatever Barry wants. Yeah, that's pretty
much, yeah. Well, if that's what I'm saying. So if Barry's course is an example, then that's an example. That's good for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay for him to set the standard. On
cool.
Like this.
Very cool. Then
yeah. As
and mm-hmm. so the course equals L. That's a playlist, then I guess.
Yeah, like a list of courses. Yeah, okay. You could have a playlist of courses all about Dino or Node.js or whatever.
Okay.
And then last night I merged in an older pull request from Dovidos to add a boost UUID.
Yeah.
As an optional value on the TLV record, and that was an addition to the Blip 10 spec. So there's been a UUID in there forever where you could say, okay, the UUID property of the TLV record identifies a user, and I'm putting identifying quotes. I mean, it's an optional thing that's sent, right? Yeah, yeah, right, right. And it's usually just some random string of characters, just so you can try to get some idea of uniqueness of where the things are coming from. Is this the same person boosting you over and over? Or is it somebody different? Even though you have no idea, no way to trace that back.
And this is, so that's something that would be generated by the apps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Dovidos had said, well, you know, here's a problem is that if one boost generates five splits, then those splits all go to different places and you can't really tell whether it was all part of the same boost or not. Was it three different, you know, was it, say if it goes three different split destinations, then
how
do you know that it was the same split that did it three times, or was it three separate ones, or what?
What is the point? What exactly do we want to know with this boost UUID? Tracking of what?
Tracking of like trying to determine whether or not a boost. Okay, so you on the receiving end, you just receive a payment.
Yeah.
And you don't know whether that payment was part of this, was just a split. Let's say you get five payments. Was that five different boosts, or was that somehow five split payments from the same boost? You don't know. So like, this would be an example of this would be maybe like, you have helipad running and you have Saturn or the Albi dashboard running and you're looking at both. Did somebody send you and you see two splits that you think are the same from the same underlying boost, one on each dashboard, but you can't be sure. That they're the same. But if you had a boost UUID, it was a random value included each time, you could say, oh, okay, that's the same. That's two splits from the same originating boost.
Okay. I still don't quite understand why you need that. I mean, it's fine. I just look at helipad. I don't look at anything else. I only need to look at one place and I see something come in and I see the person who sent it. I see it's a split, what the percentage is.
Let me see if I can find what,
I don't have, I accidentally put the same node in twice into a value block and that was confusing, but once I figured it out but it doesn't seem like, I mean, I don't know. I don't quite understand what it's for.
Well, Dovidos explained, he gave me an example. He said, my example use case is this: RSS Blue has a 2% split to display boostergrams to creators. If both a song and a music show are hosted at RSS Blue, we receive two payments when a song is boosted during the value time split. There is no exact way for us to determine if it's a single boost or two different boosts.
Oh, okay. It's just, yeah, I got it. Okay. I see. Yeah, yeah, I can see where that he needs that as a giving that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and when you release your album and play that on Booster Grand Ball, you'll need it too.
I was thinking about that use case. Like, I'm not going to release any album. I will never need this.
But if you ever do, Dovey Doss has your back.
All right. Okay.
So then, what I'm working on now. Let's see. What I'm working on now is, I'm just making my way through the list. Is the LN address, Lightning address, attribute on the value recipient. And this ended up, I went into this thinking this would be an easy addition, and it ended up being sort of a can of worms.
Yeah, good. Oh, good. Well, we'll talk about that one in a moment.
Yeah.
The only other two ones that I'm just seeing floating out there, and I'm trying to pay attention to what Sam Sethi is doing with True Fans, because he tends to do stuff and then says he supports it. And I just want to make sure everyone's heard about it. Because so one is the events, which is kind of an interesting. I was listening to Sam's Tech Corner on Pod News Weekly Review, which seems to be promoting his ideas, his Tech Corner,
and the as it should,
as it should, and the event. So I kind of, it was interesting because in a way it's like, wow, how sad is it that podcasters now have the same business model as musicians, where we can't make any money, so we have to do gigs. We have to do we have to go out and do shows
and merch
with merch. Yes. So the events, there's a lot going on there, because you know, I heard, and I think it was, is he doing that with who was he working on that with? Is that Nathan? Was he working on that with Nathan?
I could have sworn Nathan was involved in that.
Yeah, I think so. And the Pod 2 guys. It just so you can have, I'm not quite sure what it is, other than there's an event, and then you can publish an event in your feed just as a separate item. Have you looked at this at all?
Well, yeah, it's like a reference to an upcoming event.
Okay.
Like we're going to do. Here's the way I read it. Maybe this, you read it differently, but here's the way I see it, is that you have an upcoming, like this happens a lot with podcasts. I don't know if it's in any of the podcasts you listen to, but a lot of the podcasts I listen to, people are like, the host will say, you know, have a pre-roll and be like, okay, before we start, you know, no, we have a event coming up, in a live show coming up in Boston.
Yeah, sure.
On
sure.
The 25th, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this seems like a way to programmatically put that into the feed.
Right.
So that the player can show you and link to tickets or whatever.
Okay. So it's a separate item it's just an item that has an event with event information in there. It's not linked to a specific episode, or is it?
It's a remote item.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. To a specific feed, and where the feed is going to be the remote event, or it's going to be the live event.
So it would be treated as the same way a live item is treated, as a separate entity somewhere within the player.
I believe so. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The display of app is TBD, but I think a good use. My mental use case for this would be like Ainsley Costello. She has multiple feeds right now of different things. She could put this in there, announcing an upcoming show, the live show, and that would be the reference to the feed that's going to host the live show.
Got it. Okay. Got it. That's it. Okay. That's cool. Wow. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. And I would think that the feed that would take the remote item reference to that feed that's going to carry the live event would also have in it, like, you know, put a funding tag and a value block and all these kind of, you know, ways to support it, the live event, or get tickets or whatever.
Okay. All right.
And link to the merch store.
Get merch. I love the whole, hey, and we'll have tickets and you can hit a pod ping and the ticket amount will update. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, I like it. I like it. We got to figure that one out. The final one that I had, which I don't think we need to delve into, but it's like we have medium equals radio, which is linked to a pub. This is kind of what we were talking about for the past few shows about a radio station. And I got to figure out what Sam has done there. Because he says it's linking to live items from a radio station, but I'm not quite sure exactly what he's doing there. But it seems to be a list.
So Nathan's explanation for it on the GitHub would be if a radio station set up I'm quoting Nathan. If a radio station set up podcast feeds with live items for all their shows and connected them with a publisher feed, then podcast apps could aggregate those live streams together into a publisher level radio station without any new tags.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. No Agenda Stream could do that. Yeah, sure.
Excellent. Oh yeah. Okay.
Linking all those shows together into a No Agenda Stream radio station or whatever.
But it would be stuff after the fact or even into the future.
I guess both.
Okay.
Because it's all being pulled together. All those feeds are getting pulled together into a publisher feed. Now that we have publisher feeds, Nathan's saying, I'd love to hear y'all discuss what warrants a new medium versus not. Is the threshold a tailored listener experience? I mean, that's squishy, Nathan. I mean, I don't know.
Squishy is the right word.
Yeah, because sometimes. Yeah. I mean, like some of them are obvious to me. Yeah. I think to me, it's a matter of, is this content different enough than a podcast so that the app really does need to change its behavior to handle the content? Like, does the app need to know in order to give a sane experience for the listener when playing this content? So obviously for audiobooks, that is the case because you're going to say, okay, now these things, these chapters are now, this transcript is now a literal text of the book. The episodes have to go in a specific order. There's got to be maybe a page. What's that page inside the book that gives you the copyright info and all this kind of stuff? There's a lot of stuff
page?
That has to happen. Copyright page. What is that? What do you call that again?
So I think the main thing is keep posting the stuff on podcastindex.social so that we know about it. So it doesn't just get, because then what happens is, Sam gets mad because no one's implementing this. We have to keep making everybody aware of it. I think the events tag is cool. Clearly no agenda stream. And by the way, when you publish, that's what I love about CurioCaster. And I think that's how we bootstrapped a lot of this is, we were just using every single tag we had on No Agenda, Podcasting 2.0, MoFax, as many feeds as I could get. I'm still publishing the social interact tag. So it doesn't always result in apps implementing it, but if you keep doing it consistently, eventually it'll show up. And I think it has to come from, what are we drinking?
This is a Waterloo Cherry Limeade.
Ooh, wait, I have a Waterloo Cherry Limeade here myself.
Oh, brother.
What are the chances? I haven't opened it yet. I'm still drinking my Gigawatt Coffee Roasters Snap Chill.
It doesn't taste anything like cherries or limes.
No, at all.
I'll give them a solid C plus for the effort.
At all. At least this is the one Waterloo that actually tastes like something besides just water. The other ones don't. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, let's keep our eye on that stuff and keep publishing and let people know when there's feeds, so we can keep letting the app devs know that it's out there. Because I think these are some pretty cool tags. I like it a lot.
Me too. And I would recommend if you when you post something on the Git on the GitHub repo for the namespace, also cross post it to podcast.
Oh, for sure, because I miss all kinds of stuff on the GitHub all the time, and also my eyes glaze over sometimes. It's, you know, it's because it's just not. I'm so happy we have both. But we, but cross posting is important. It really is. Because
here's what happens. You miss, you know, you don't check it for a few weeks, and this one post grows into a thread that's like 75 comments long, and you cannot understand. Yeah,
no, it's painful.
You can't understand it.
I have two more things I want to talk about before we get our guests in. The first one is, you know, being often the frontline support for Podcast Index, which I love doing, by the way, for as far as possible. I have noticed an inordinate amount of people who have anchor feeds where they are confused that it won't show on iTunes or in Podcast Index. And of course, all I need to do is open up the feed, do a control F and look for block. I think Anchor is adding iTunes block from the get-go with a new feed. These guys are nasty.
I've suspected that too, and I don't know how to prove it, but
well, I can't prove it either, but a lot of new people show up and they say, "Hey, I got my feed over here on Anchor and it's not showing up in Podcast Index." And then I'll see that it has the block, but before I say that, I'll say, "Hey, is it showing up on iTunes?" "No, it's not showing up there either." Isn't that weird? And I was like, and then, you know, they have to go back and they have to contact Anchor or podcast or Spotify for podcaster support. I think that this is nefarious. I don't think it's cool what they're doing over there. It seems like maybe there's some little box that you have to check. I don't know if anyone knows, like include this in iTunes, but it's,
I've got an Anchor account that I use for the test stuff and, with the aggregator. And it didn't used to do that. This may be a recent change. I don't know. I mean, Spotify.
But it's not really cool if they're creating feeds that by default will not or won't or should not show in iTunes, whether iTunes accepts it or not is secondary. Mm. But just to add a block without letting people know, I don't want to accuse them of anything for sure, but it sure seems like just the sheer volume of people who show up with new feeds where a block tag is in there.
I think it's a great idea because I don't ingest their stuff anymore automatically anyway. I encourage this.
Okay. There you go. All right.
I mean, after you've ingested 100,000 feeds that are just
crap,
you know, somebody with a 15-second episode and they never post again, it's like, I'm not doing this anymore. If you care enough, if you actually have a legit podcast that you care about other people finding, and you host on a free host like Anchor,
you need to
do the extra step of contacting a directory and letting them know.
That's true. Yeah. Well, people are starting to realize that free isn't necessarily good. That's for sure. With a lot of things. One last thing, because I have two clips for this, short ones. I'm just flabbergasted by the blatant fraud that podcasters are now putting out there and blaming.
You know what clip
I'm playing, right? Yeah. Well, I have two actually. Yeah. I have two. This is the I Think Not podcast. forget who did Spurlock post this? I can't remember who posted. So it's not safe for work. So crank it up.
And if you are on Apple Podcasts, I want to tell you, there was an iOS update that is making all podcasters bend over, grab our ankles, and take it up the butt. If you are on Apple Podcasts and you go to our page, please click the three dots in the top right-hand corner, go to settings, and just click automatically download 10 latest episodes. Just that will fix the iOS update that has fucked all of the podcasters up. Again, go to the three dots on the top left, hit settings, and about a little further down than halfway down, click automatically download 10 latest episodes. Just that will help us out so much.
I mean, mean, that's outrageous.
First of all, yikes. I mean,
yeah. Yes, yikes is right.
And second of all, I mean, just begging for downloads. Like, please, why stop at 10? Why don't you?
Yeah, dude, do 20. Is,
yeah. Subscribe, download 10 episodes, then unsubscribe, then do it again. I mean, like, just keep asking for getting jacked up.
I mean, it's clearly fraudulent.
Yeah.
And what really surprised me is to hear not quite as blatant, not to this level, because this was actually more instruction than we used to have to give people how to subscribe to the podcast itself. You know, that was like, go to the website, look for the RSS icon, right click, copy, go to your podcast application, hit subscribe, paste this in. She had a lot more instruction there to how to do this. Go down three dots halfway down. Did screw it. And Apple screwed us. Well, you're being fraudulent. You're now screwing your advertisers. I mean, doesn't the advertisers not hear this?
So I was recently told about a situation where there was a podcast that was having its advertising handled by a third party. Mm. So you have the podcast, you have the advertiser or the advertising agency, and then you have the podcast host. And you know, the podcast, the advertising agency signed up for a service that's supposed to get you up the ranks in Apple Podcast Directory. And, you know, they do this through banner ads and all these kinds of, you know, things. It's nothing new, but these aren't real, you know, these are rewards based subscriptions that you're getting. And you get for every new sign up, just like she's talking about, you get an initial batch of downloads that come off Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
And so it's a temporary boost and it's fake, but as long as you keep signing up, and re-upping your buy, you keep getting this small temporary influx of downloads.
Number go up, baby.
Number go up. And so then the podcast host was like, let the podcaster know, hey, you know, these, you know, yeah, you're getting some downloads, but these aren't real downloads. I mean, these are not true numbers. And the podcaster was like, well, you know, that's fine with us because this is like a branded podcast for this company, and we're okay with that because this lets us report the numbers to the company that we're it's
fraudulent.
It let me know. I'm like, okay, so there's this chain that's involved here where the agency is getting some numbers for the podcast.
Yeah.
And then the podcaster is wanting to show success to corporate. And so then it's all just this big fraudulent chain from soup to nuts all the way through. And the advertising agency is the lovely
is the worst.
Yes.
So the chain of fraud. Well, imagine how surprised I was flying home from the Netherlands. And I had downloaded a whole bunch of podcasts. And I play my favorite hate listen on the media and listen to what they're doing.
Hey,
wait, stop. I thought has On the Media supplanted Pivot as your favorite?
Well, did I say favorite?
Yeah, you said this is your favorite hate listen.
It's my second favorite. Pivot always has to be top. Pivot is the top favorite. There's no doubt about it. All right, listen to this.
Hey, this is the On the Media Midweek Podcast. I'm Michael Loewinger. We've got a great new interview for you this week. But first, a quick reminder. If you're an iPhone user and you listen to OTM on the Apple Podcast app, the one that comes downloaded on your phone, please take a second to click on that app, go to our feed, and in the top right corner, if you see a plus follow button, click that. It will automatically download new episodes of On the Media when they drop, so you won't have to stream the show when you're out and about.
Oh, wait. It's for your benefit, listener, so you won't have to stream when you're out and about. But wait, there's more.
If you see a check mark in the upper right corner, then you're good to go. And while you're at it, please leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you think about the show as of late. The ratings help OTM And your feedback means a lot to us.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
On to the podcast.
So you can listen when you're out and about. You don't have to stream it. Give us it's downloads.
It's the same exact thing, except the up the butt part. That they left that part out.
Now that would have been awesome. If NPR had done Michael
Owinger. No, hello. I want to hear Brooks. Brooks.
Hey, we're getting screwed up the butt here on NPR.
Check your top right corner.
All of this to say there is an alternative way to receive value for your podcast. It's the value for value model. We've been pioneering it here on Podcasting 2.0 for a while. And we've had fantastic partners in the lightning, space, who've helped build this throughout the years. It started with Sphinx. Then we had LN Pay. And of course, Albi came into the mix. And there's been a lot of shakeups and changes. So we're very proud and happy to have them both here on a Saturday.
PH Deutschland, here is the Hoff.
Please welcome from Albi, Moritz Kaminski and Roland Bewick. Did I say it right? Bewick? Bewick? Roland? How do I pronounce it?
Bewick.
Bewick.
Yeah, I know. It's
Bewick. Hey, man, that's not how you... No, Bewick is B-U-I-C-K. We all know Bewick's here.
Yeah. That's the giant car that your granddad drives.
Exactly. Good, Roland. Good to meet you. You are playing the role of Boomy today, Michael Boomin. I guess he gave up his spot for you.
Yeah, I'm one of the developers at Albi, so I can step in and answer a few technical questions. I actually wanted to mention something quickly, though, because at the start you said you got a Node Runners badge. It's quite cool because we also met him, SF, at the Bitcoin Film Fest earlier this year. And, he runs Node Runners Radio, so you can actually vote. You can pay with sats to vote for a song. So cool. I don't think it's Podcasting 2.0, but it's a cool idea. Maybe it can fit in somehow. I'm not sure.
It gives me more Bitcoin credibility, more maxi cred, I believe.
Maxi cred, yes.
I need maxi cred. And let's say hello to Moritz Kaminski. Moritz, how you doing, brother?
Hey. Yeah, good. Thanks for inviting us again, Adam, Dave. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's been long overdue. There's been all kinds of misinformation and disinformation, no doubt, done by Putin and his team of AI experts. We've just been trying to figure out what's going on in general, since a lot of or probably almost every single podcast app has depended on Albi for its users' wallets. Conversely, there really are two sides to the equation. Podcasters and artists have also been using Albi for receiving sats for their boostograms and streaming sats. And then through some weird business going on in the United States, where it's very unclear what the rules are, the regulations, you guys, I'm sure, we first always saw the French pull out. And then we saw a number of different wallet providers leave, and then some changes happened at Albi. And maybe you can just tell us, just bring us up to speed on what happened, what you did, where we are, and then hopefully where we're going.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's why we're here, right? So, I mean, first of all, there, like, our commitment to value for value and podcasting has like never changed. So it's still the same. Since then, when we talked like on the same show here at in Boardroom 2 years ago. But at Albi, things have changed. So we experienced quite some user growth, end of last year. And this means not like because we were like a managed wallet provider back then. This means not only a lot of users, this means also suddenly a lot of user funds, right? So quite some responsibilities here on our side. We then made sure that actually we as a small team can handle that. So we introduced invite codes, and we also introduced limits back then. just to make sure that the users that we have, that they that we can serve them properly, right?
And that limit is like a million sats, and you encourage people to really use it as a daily, which I think is perfect, to use it as a daily wallet, move the sats off, keep it under that limit.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it. That's it, basically. And then, but the again, so the commitment to podcasting too has never like changed. So for example, all the API partners, their users could always sign up to Albi, to an Albi account, without the need of an invite code.
Mm-hmm.
So that was they basically always a free road there, and mm-hmm. on top, everybody who reaches out to us and asks us for an invite code gets just an invite code, right via email. It's just we are more deliberate on what type of users we want to build for, because we saw like any type of users signing up suddenly for Albi because our APIs made it so easy to build, right? So people do not have to interact with Lightning Network, with Bitcoin Network. They just have to interact with common web technologies, and that's what they are trained for. That's why we saw these sudden growth also from other integration partners. And so that's why we did a step back. And but one thing also has never changed. So when we talk about the Albi API, I think it's important to mention that the backend was actually always also open. So you could bring your own node, plug it into the Albi API, for example, without interrupting all the apps that you already use. So for example, I can stream sats and send boostergrams in Podcast Guru directly from my own node. So that was already possible like a few months ago. Or if I was a node runner and a podcaster with Blueberry or RSS.com, I can also receive payments directly to my own node and not in the wallet managed by Albi.
Understood. Which is fantastic. Of course, your typical podcaster even will not go to the lengths of setting up their own node initially. But I know you understand that. But the obviously the capability is there, and it's great.
So now. It's that also what we continue now to promote. So we have some very cool things in the works, and that's actually also where Roland is basically the lead developer. So that's super cool that he can join us here. But regarding the Albi API, it really like it's the idea is that it just keeps working no matter what funding backend you have there. You have an Albi account, you have your own node, and it's up to the user what they basically want to plug in. So the money does not go necessarily through our hands, and with the upcoming developments, actually not even we make it even easier. Like it's really another step, another level for people to use an Albi account in a self-custodial way, actually.
Understood. Maybe before we get into, you know, all the new things you're doing, just understand the basic limitations. It sounds like you really want to get out of the managed wallet bid, the managed funds business. Do I see that correctly?
Yes, that's our intention, because we also, I personally, for example, learned, so financial regulations will get stricter over time, but at the same time, we are working on a payment network, which is the Lightning Network, which has incredible like capabilities compared to the current payment system. And if we would go down like the road of getting financially fully regulated and adhering to these laws with transaction monitoring, transaction recording, I'm not so sure, actually, if we could fully leverage this innovation potential that's behind the Lightning Network as an instant like payment network across the globe. So that's for example one reason why we say, okay, let's try it out this way right now, because that does not limit us in any like technological way, basically.
So just understanding Albi's business then. You want to be a front end. You can use any funding source, which makes a lot of sense. If you don't mind me asking, what will the business or what is the business model of Albi if you're providing that free basically now? Will you be charging for that down the road, or where do you want to insert yourself? Because you're basically offering Lightning services through a simple API or through a front end web interface. Mm-hmm. Bring your own funding source. Where do you make money?
Yeah, so that's really what we want, where we want to position us. We want to just remove away the complexity and especially for apps and developers, and be closer to apps basically, and bring digital payments there. And that's why we plan also to monetize our services through a premium plan, basically, for people who want more convenience than, for example, installing their node at home. There will be a pro plan where we charge on a monthly basis. The price is not yet set there, just for the users who are not, let's say, technical capable or sound enough to spin up their own node at home.
Is there a drop dead date when the Albi API that apps like Castomatic and Podverse, is there a day that's coming when those wallets that they are hosting for their listeners are going to be not available anymore and they have to move funds off?
No, there is no drop dead. Also, we might not necessarily onboard users to these, like, let's say, existing Albi accounts and wallets anymore, mm-hmm. but the current users can keep using them. So there is no date, and also forthcoming, there is no bigger issue that we expect. It's just now what we are currently working on. We just want to even lower the bars, even more for other people to become like a self-sovereign, become self-sovereign and take back control over their own payments with their own wallets and nodes. That's the idea. And that's now also where Roland comes in, for example, and the premium, these pro plan comes in, where people just like basically get more convenience when they run these wallets themselves.
Do you think that there will ever be, because I mean, so our main limitation when it, so I'm just putting podcasters on one side for a second, just leave those out of the conversation, purely about because most app developers have really not looked into the Lightning Network. You know, obviously the Albi API made it fantastic just for people just code that in, you're good to go. Our biggest issue is the keysend system, because you really need a full-time node. You need something that's online all the time in order to receive that, which kind of precludes us from really using any other system unless, I guess, Bolt 12 comes along. I'm not even sure if that, I mean, I don't even know how self-sovereign that will be. But I've seen, you know, Chad F, for example, has been working, trying to figure out using the, using Zeus and their Olympus, LSP, try and connect the Albi API to that, which I think he's had some success with. But the real issue is podcasting 2.0 with value for value streaming is really an onboarding. But an onboarding for people who know nothing. I mean, I think all the people who understand Bitcoin and Lightning are already there. They're probably already using something. They probably have their own wallets. You know, they may be using Fountain. In fact, most people seem to be using Fountain. So we want to make sure that it's easy for new users to come in, you know, use Podcast Guru or Podverse or just something that maybe they're already using and just connect a wallet to it, taking them down the path of setting up their own node is just not going to scale. It just won't happen. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for different ways to make that happen. And I think that it's interesting to see what TrueFans is doing. As I understand it, Sam Sethi has set up a super hub with you guys, and he'll be able to provide virtual wallets. Can you explain kind of how that works if it were on a per app basis?
I better leave that to Sam. I think that's a great experiment what he's doing there. And I also don't know how it's going right now. So we helped him onboard to this new wallet basically, and he wants to use that as his back end and onboard people on virtual wallets.
Okay.
I see.
He's doing the virtual wallet part. He's taking care of that himself internally, and is just connecting to a big node that you're running for him.
We are not running the node for him. He's running the node himself, right? Okay. So that's the idea of self custody. But actually, so I think for all these users who are afraid of running their own node, I think the new wallet that we are going to bring out is really something for them, right? So it's not the you need to assemble hardware, first buy hardware, assemble it, and then set it up at home, access it through a browser or so, and then fiddle around there. No, it's one click deployment in the cloud for the user. And we guide the users through this.
This is good. But it has a funding requirement. Am I correct?
Yes. But the funding requirement is solvable, right? So there are LSPs involved where you can, with like one, two clicks, get a channel, with a receiving capacity, and as a podcaster, then you're good to go, right? You do not even need to fund this wallet as a podcaster, because you will then receive something from the listeners.
And that, so that happens automatically upon first receive, then an inbound channel opens up with liquidity?
It does not happen automatically, but it happens like on purpose. We want to give users the control of, okay, how much do they actually expect, and also put them into the spot of making the decision, and also an economic decision of requesting inbound capacity from an LSP.
Right. So just so you understand, and I totally understand where you're going. I understand the vision. I think it's the right thing to do from your perspective. It's totally not doable certainly not from the listeners, certainly not from musicians. The knowledge level is so low. They're barely understanding Satoshis over Bitcoin. So while I think it's a great solution, and they can be walked through it and they can be made to understand, it's not, it doesn't make onboarding very fast in the podcasting 2.0 user area, because people are just, you know, they're just not going to do it. I mean, it's just a very high barrier.
I'm not too much worried about that. So I definitely get your point, and I think this is something that we need to work on, like step by step, automating these flows, and abstracting away things like opening a channel, for example, and that will happen, and we also know how we can do that. But this one click sign up and I have my wallet. Actually, we have also already ideas there, and they are still based on a self-custodial setup. Mm-hmm. So it will be possible where we think where we can leverage our existing like tech stack to give users a chance. I don't know, for like 100,000 sets, for example, a budget. Please take this budget, go to Podverse and stream that. And the payment goes then directly from my own node. So I will be able to onboard users that are not familiar with Lightning and give them a chance to make their first Lightning payment without actually running their node. So there are plans for that. But we will see that later this year. Actually, also Roland, if you want to say something here, that's one of his ideas, like the mastermind behind this this new wallet.
All right, Roland, come on in, brother.
Hello. Yeah, just before that, you had a question about these apps that use the LB API right now. Will they eventually stop working? And that's not the case. So we continue to build upon and support the LB API. And it's just the funding source that will change, just like you said, Adam. So rather than it being managed by the shared LB service, things will decentralize. So a lot of LB users will be running their own nodes, but they will still be connected to the LB API, and all the functionality will exist as before. But as you say, so not everyone is ready to invest some money in advance, right, to open their own channels. Or even if they have the money, maybe they aren't ready to invest the time and energy to learn about Lightning and Bitcoin. So we're thinking of this feature where everyone who runs the new LB Hub product, which you run your own node, you have your own keys, you can onboard your friends and family. They basically just download an app, and with one click or scanning one QR code, they're ready to go with a Lightning wallet. They don't have to understand anything. They can make podcasting payments. They could even receive podcasting payments and start their own podcast in the future as well. So we think if we can build the circular economy where you can onboard your friends and family and from there create more and more nodes and decentralize the network, things will be in a much better position.
So
we're pretty excited.
So
yep, go ahead.
But right now, the biggest hurdle we have is you can no longer create a current non-custodial ALBI wallet in the U.S., which of course hampers our onboarding. So I'm looking for, and I hear what you're saying. So there will be kind of like a one-click functionality in the future. I don't know about 100,000 sats. I think you can get most people to put $5 in, probably 5 euros. So you're talking more about 25,000 sats, maybe 20,000 sats. I don't know if that's enough to deploy a node and open up a channel with liquidity, but that's probably what most people will do just to start off as they're new being onboarded. So we kind of have this bridge we want to gap between where we are now, which is you're in the US, you can't fire up a wallet anymore, is my understanding, to, end of the year when you have deployable product, which will be very similar, or this idea has been around ever since we started this, the idea of Uncle Tom's node, which is kind of a racist thing, but Uncle Tom's node, where you share a node with multiple people and you can have multiple wallets on it. How do we bridge that gap?
So regarding the ALBI accounts in the US, everybody that reaches out to us, like sends an email, hello@getalbi.com, I will reply with an invite code. So that's no issue. Everybody, also people in the US, can create an ALBI account today. We just haven't managed yet to remove this invite only feature yet, unfortunately. The only requirement that we have is that we then help them to get on this new self-custodial app. And again, it's just like, we spin it up for you in the cloud. We even help you to open up your first channel. That's not much required. Currently, it's around 50,000 sats, and then you're able to receive plenty of sats.
This is purely from the listener standpoint. So the receiving side, I'm less worried about. I'm really, I'm a podcast listener. I'm listening to a podcast. My podcaster says, hey, you can support us through Value for Value. This is where someone's going to make a huge step because they're going to open up something called a wallet. And obviously they'd like to do that inside of the app they're using. So that's where you want kind of like an automatic wallet open. It's okay if we say, oh, hey, you got to go to get Albi, you got to open a wallet. I mean, there's a whole bunch of hurdles, including KYC for funding, et cetera. So how many more steps can we eliminate from setting up, in the new system? Can it just be completely transparent to this user that, all right, I put in $10, 40 or 50,000 sats, and that for that user, it'll just be $10. They're not even thinking in sats yet. How many steps can we eliminate to make that as smooth as possible for listeners who just want to support a podcast? They don't understand Lightning. They may have an interest in it, but they just want to support the podcast.
I think that's definitely a hard nut to crack. That's also where we quickly arrive at the current limits of the Lightning network. If you want to use it in a self-custodial way, if you want to use it in a custodial way, in a properly regulated way, then that's basically like using another bank account where you all have to sign up, scan your ID or upload a photo and such, and do it that way. But I also think this budget feature that Roland talked about is not that far out. So we are maybe talking about like a few months. So that's definitely very, very high on our priority list, because we see that, running your own node, even like hearing things like channel also, might be for some people just a little bit too much in the beginning.
It's way too much for most people. And I'm just trying to find the middle ground. I understand it's going to take a few months, and I don't want to hold anyone to schedules because it might take you another year. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's your development timeline. What I'm just trying to get to is, can it be simple enough that a podcast app can access an API, spin up a wallet, or a node through the Albi API, require a budget to be entered. So at the moment, the listener has to, onboard somehow. That piece has been solved kind of in some ways, but onboard, and then everything else happens in the background. Just a wallet is created. The user doesn't know that a channel is open or they have their own node. Then they may get some credentials spit back. Don't lose these. These are your keys. If you lose this, you lose your money. How seamless can we make that process for the podcast apps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think TrueFans now does a lot on that part, actually.
Right, they're doing it themselves.
How this experiment turns out. I think in general, so it's definitely doable in a let's say more like custodial way, where you share your wallet with others, people on one big node, and you outsource things like channel management to a central party, in the traditional banking way. So that's totally doable. But even there, then you will not necessarily enter the space where you can onboard users easily on a API wallet or so, because then in this very moment, you as an app become a money service business, right? So, and then it's on you to do the KYC of the user. So you probably need to then work together with a regulated entity, or work together with a wallet service like Albi, where users particularly need to sign up for this wallet service themselves, and then authorize to connect the wallet back to the app. So then there is a different like user relationship, right? So because then it's the liability of Albi or another or wallet provider basically to take care of the regulatory side of things and not the app. And I think that's definitely something that that app developers may not underestimate the problems that might or challenges come up there when they just spin up wallets on their side on behalf of users and take deposits, for example.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any insight into, because we're talking about regulations that aren't really there yet, do you have any insight or do you just have a feeling of where this is going, particularly as it pertains to the United States?
I think that's, at least for the United States, it's quite clear. I mean, if users do not interact with the payment network themselves, but through a third party, and that's the case if they don't have their own keys, then you are a money service business and you need to be regulated by FinCEN and you need money transmitter licenses by most of the states in the US in addition.
Dave?
Yeah, it seems to me like and I've thought this for a while, that the real issue on the regulatory side with all of this stuff is that the large Bitcoin entities that do have the money transmitter licenses and do have the correct regulatory structure like Cash App, Strike, and those kinds of organizations, they have Lightning support, but they're not providing the Lightning onboarding experience. They're not onboarding into Lightning. They're onboarding into themselves and then providing Lightning as just a side benefit only at the bare minimum of Bolt 11 and, just to get stuff across. And it seems to me like there's an entire sort of second layer of companies like Albi that are trying to do more and trying to really be the onboarding, the on-ramp into Lightning itself. And they're not, and you guys are not getting the support of the larger Bitcoin regulated back end. Because if you had, it's a lot to ask a group like Albi to go out and get all the regulatory.
No, it's impossible. Stuff. It's impossible.
It's just not possible. Yeah. But it just seems like some a bigger group could help, but they're just not doing it.
Yeah, but that's also one reason why we do now this step. And yes, we will increase the bar a little bit to run a new Albi wallet, but we are quite sure that we can lower it same as we lowered the bar 2 years ago when we published the Albi API.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what we're seeing now in the, just as in Bitcoin as a whole, just speaking outside of Lightning itself, is with the ETFs and there's a weird dynamic going on right now where you have two things happening at the same time. You have a greater awareness and acceptance of Bitcoin as a financial instrument across the board. And then you also have selective cracking down, trying to send a vague message to the market that you better play by the rules. And so there's those two things, that leads me to believe that the future of this sort of thing is, I don't know. I guess I see a downside to just making the wallet completely transparent. So let me say it like this. I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe this. If you think about a Lightning wallet in terms of, okay, like Venmo or PayPal wallets, we're all aware that those are, pretty easy to onboard. You just spin up an account, But if you really want to do anything of any importance with them, if you want to actually send any decent amount of money at all, you actually do have to KYC yourself in all of those apps. It's not just a frictionless, easy experience. There is KYC and regulatory stuff that has to happen on all of those things. And so it seems to me that while we may not like it from the podcasting and even the Noster zapping side of things, while we may not like this, it may just be a fact of life that if people are going to have a wallet, they need to be aware of the wallet as a separate entity outside of just being some feature of an app. It sure is frictionless to go and tap a link in Castomatic, kick over to Albi, spin up, you know, get a wallet and put $5 in there in five clicks. That's like a dream scenario.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, whether it's your own node or not. That doesn't matter. I mean, that's perfect. I'm just looking for that frictionless part.
But see, then the downside becomes that, like, you know, let's imagine that PayPal allowed that to happen. Let's imagine that PayPal allowed people to just spin up transparent wallets that they kind of barely even know they have on their own back end. What you would end up with is just a whole bunch of sort of just ethereal wallets with funds in them that end up in limbo a lot of times, and people are just not even aware of how to connect with it. So
yeah, like, and that's actually what we are solving with this new wallet, because that's the idea, is that it serves as your hub. So you maybe need to do the extra step, but it's just one time in the beginning to make sure you have enough spending balance, receiving capacity. But afterwards, you can fully, you have this, definitely this plug and play experience of, yes, bring your Albi account to a Podverse, to a RSS.com. And that's really just one click authorization. And then you can receive payments, you can send payments, you can see your balance, you can even see your transaction lists. So once you've done just the initial step, afterwards, like, you can like fully plug and play throughout the whole Bitcoin app ecosystem.
Totally understood. What will the steps be? Do you have a funding on ramp as well, or do you point people to a certain place to transfer fiat into Satoshis? What are those steps? Or do you have none? So, it's okay if you have none. I'm just trying to understand how we can streamline it.
It's basically like every other account that you create. You set your password, and then if you have already Bitcoin, then you can just directly open a channel. We recommend your channel partners. No need for searching some. So, and then you're good to go already. Or if you don't have Bitcoin, then define your password. You can directly in the new wallet, you can top it up with a credit card, and then with these funds, open your first channel.
Okay.
So there is an in-app credit card top-up mechanism.
Okay. That's good. And
theoretically, sorry, no, theoretically, we could even, like, once we've tested this properly and a lot of confidence in that, we could even say, okay, why not just top it up with a credit card and automatically open a channel?
Yes, so
that's all possible.
Yes.
And that's something where we are looking into.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I think that really is, I think the issue is less with the concept of having a wallet, because I think everybody's comfortable with that. Okay, now I have an Albi wallet and I can do lots of things with this Albi wallet. I can hook it to a podcast app. I can do, you know, hook it over here to Indie Hub or whatever. I think that's not the issue. I think everybody's comfortable with that. It's the channel issue, because that's the one thing that makes Lightning different from these other sources like a PayPal or a Venmo or something like that, is that you have this extra thing called a channel that is just completely inscrutable to normal human beings. What is, I don't even understand what this is. So like if the channel process, you know, even if there's a minimum of, you know, $30 to open a wallet, if, as long as the channel process just happens by itself.
Yes.
That, to me, that is really the hurdle. Mm.
And even just knowing there's a channel, I love the business model. I understand it now. You get your Albi, your Albi is your own node, you're sovereign, you have your keys, you lose that, you're screwed. But you can, and what Albi's business model will be doing is you will be connecting to every other app necessary in the entire Lightning ecosystem. Anything you want, you'll make sure you can make the connection. So whether you want to connect it to your Noster app, to your podcast app, to your McDonald's app, whatever it is, you guys will provide that. And then you'll have different service levels and different capabilities. And that's where you come in with your premium. I totally get it. So the questions are, how seamless can we, as Dave said, can you just make the top it up and then I send a payment? So I have what you call the budget. So minimum top up, if it could be $10 or 10 euros, that'd be fantastic. I don't know if that's enough. It has to be more than it is what it is. And that automatically opens the channel for my first payment, or with my first payment, the channel opens up instead of, hey, I'm funding a channel. What am I really doing? You know what I mean? If we can obfuscate those pieces, unless you're an advanced user and you need to know it, I think that would be great for us, and it'd be great for you too, probably.
Definitely. So, and there's also another idea. For example, since we wanna of a budget to automatically create a channel for the user, the downside here is a little bit that we would do like an upfront commitment, because we would need to pay for this channel, right? And then if the user churns quickly from the wallet away again, then we cannot recover the costs, basically. So we need to still think a little bit how we can make that in a way that we do not take too much risk here as a small startup. But so there are really various ways levers that we could use actually to bring the barriers down even further.
Here's an idea. Because I still feel like, and Chad F says we're focused too much on the channel, but the channel thing is the thing. That's the problem. People don't understand this. They understand Venmo. They don't even, I mean, even currently the whole send me an invoice so I can pay your invoice is already foreign to people. It's very complicated to people who are used to Venmo and PayPal. What if Podcast Index for podcast wallets only functioned as the liquidity provider? So, and not for podcasters, but for podcast wallets, for people who are purely thinking of sending listeners. Can we, because we have a pretty good node, you know, we could even set up a separate node with a fat pipe. We've got liquidity, we've got good connections. Is there a way that we could bridge this for a while so that, because we don't need to make profit, you guys do. Can we bridge this and we provide the liquidity? We provide a 50-50 channel, for example, when someone spins up a wallet, or is that too complicated?
So this would mean if someone would sign up through Podverse, Podcast Guru, or Castomatic, for example.
Yes.
We know somehow this person is interested in listening to podcasts. Yes. and making value for value payments. And then in this moment, for example, we could request a channel from you to give this user some initial balance, basically. I think we should think about that, actually. Yes, I like this idea.
And we open the channel and then essentially push to the other side. Yeah. I mean, definitely me and Matt have talked about doing that. I mean, it's a thing that our node is sitting there, and it's well connected and well funded. So, I mean, I think it makes sense to help people out with this on the podcasting side, at least, until I think there can be, like I said, I'm not too concerned about the minimum balances and that kind of thing. I think those are all not a big deal. It really is this channel problem. That's the thing that just, you start talking about channels and people just, they just don't understand what you're talking about.
But like, here's one question that I have. So, I mean, that's also a little bit of a strategic decision that we, because there are ways to automate these things, like channel management with some Lightning service providers. But so far we said, okay, we just want to make sure people's wallet work out and they are not trapped into a fixed Lightning service provider, where then in times of high on-chain fees, they have to constantly open new channels.
Mm-hmm.
And then end up with 5 channels, but might even need to open up a 6th channel because they still cannot receive funds higher than 250,000 sats, for example. So they don't have this control. And I wonder, okay, should we give them the control or should we really automate it fully for them?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I feel that it feels like podcasting can be a great onboarding mechanism to what all of Albi provides. So as Lightning becomes more integrated into normal life, there'll be more and more, and I think that's your vision, more and more reasons to have your own node that you can connect to all these different services and apps that are out there. But to bring them in, you're going to need something really, really simple. And I mean, Dave and I have also considered to bridge something, just because we don't want to lose the momentum. We're losing incredible momentum now, just by not making the wallet process easy for listeners. We would be happy if we could just provide a node with liquidity and for a certain period, even just act as a custodial service, just to keep mm-hmm. the momentum going, and then hopefully switch people over to their own nodes as they go along. Because we can't do that forever, but we certainly feel like we can assume some of that risk in podcasting only, which is very different from, because I understand what was happening with you guys. Everyone's just, oh, get a free wallet here, and then everybody and their grandma's just signing up. But if we're just only providing this for the podcast apps, that may be another avenue to go. But I don't know if you could provide like a white label service for podcasting that would only be for podcast apps. Does that make sense?
Go ahead.
Sorry, if I can jump in here. I think this Uncle Tom's, or we call it Uncle Jim's, idea perfectly fits here. And it should be able to... So if you run an Albi hub, you can actually connect to an external Lightning node. So you should be able to connect. Boot up a new Albi hub, connect to your existing node, and you'll be able to set up these connections for people who connect with different podcasting apps. Regulatory-wise, I don't know, but... technically, I think it should be possible, and it's a really exciting idea to consider. So, Moritz, sorry, go ahead.
Roland, can you talk about that? Because I'm not sure what you...
The Albi Hub?
Yeah, the Albi Hub. Can you just describe what that is?
Yeah, so it's not a typical wallet. So if you think of a typical wallet, right, that you start on your phone and you send and receive payments, it's not that. It's something completely different. It's completely revolutionary. It's basically what you get with the Albi account, right? But now you are fully self-sovereign. So So you have one wallet and you can connect to all your different apps. You'll have one balance. You don't need to have multiple balances in different apps. And you can have permission control for every single app. You can choose how much you want to spend, how much control the app has over your wallet, basically, similar to how it works with the Albi API. And the really cool thing is, just like the Albi extension, you can choose a funding source for Albi Hub. So by default, we embed a node directly into the Albi Hub. And so you can launch it in the cloud with a few clicks, get started, ready to go. And that's great. But you can also connect to an external Lightning node as well, but get the existing functionality. Does this kind of answer your question? Yeah.
So you're saying that the Albi Hub is Albi Hub is just a sort of a connector either to your own node or a node that's running that Albi spins up for you. So you can connect it either way on the back end, sort of like a green light type node service.
Yeah, definitely. So it's slightly different to Greenlight, which will launch on the fly, right? Normally it's off, but if it detects an incoming payment, it will be booted up to receive the payment, and then it will shut down again to save resources. But ours is a bit different. We believe that we want lightning fast payments. We want an always online service. We want to be able to receive keysend payments at any time for podcasting. So this is our focus, to have this always online wallet service that powers all of your apps, embeds Lightning into your daily life. It just feels instant, right? Seamless, attaching Lightning payments to user interactions, all those amazing things that we can do in the future.
So that node is always running then?
Yes, that's the case. And This comes with costs, but as part of our premium, Albi Pro plan, you would basically get this for free. But you can also host Albi Hub locally. You can run it on your own virtual machine or server if you have one. You can run it as a desktop app if you have a computer that's always online, always turned on. Or you can even run it on a Raspberry Pi. So we're trying to give as many options to users to pick what best works for them, and they can always migrate it at any time. If they think, now I bought some hardware, I can move my node, or the opposite, if they want an easier, more convenient option, they can run it in the cloud.
But can you run virtual wallets on that, similar to like LN Bits?
Currently, no, but this is the next feature we're planning to look at. Because as we talked about, there's fundamentally two different types of users, right? One who understands Bitcoin, they can open channels and they can manage this, whereas another user, as you said, they barely know the difference between sats and Bitcoin, right? And Lightning is very difficult, right? You can't completely hide the Lightning network and channels everything from these users, and that's why we think we need this other idea where the Uncle Tom, Uncle Jim idea, I think, fits very well in this case. And because we can launch all these Albi hubs all over the world, we still have a much more decentralized system than having one wallet of Satoshi, one Blink sort of thing, where people are worried about regulation and all these sort of things. So we think we're in a much better position going forward.
Right. I'm not understanding the hub entirely, because what I understand under an Uncle Jim, or it's much funnier in America to say Uncle Tom for a whole bunch of racist reasons. When we say an Uncle Tom hub, that means, or node, that means that there's a node and it has channels, it has liquidity, and someone can connect to that and have their own accounting of sats that they are using and they put in or alternatively receive. Are we talking about the same thing with the Albi Hub? Because it sounds like it isn't quite the same.
It's quite similar. You can think say you had five different podcasting apps and you would connect them to your LB Hub, right? And you can give different permissions to each app. What, maybe one app can send 100,000 sets per month and a different one can send 10,000 sets per month. But you can actually also create another app connection, which is actually not for an app, but for a new user or your friend or your family member. And they have this connection, which then they can use, again, to connect to all these apps. This connection is powered by your node and your channels. Everything that's managed by you, it's your responsibility to make sure that your friends and family have a good experience.
But do they have their own accounting, their own wallet accounting, their own balance, or is it just whatever's on the node?
They will have their own accounting, own transaction list, own balance, everything.
Well, there you go.
So you're sort of take like so the person. Let's say I create an Albi Hub and I fund, you know, I'm paying for the Albi Hub. Then I can connect a few friends to my Albi Hub and they each get their own wallet and essentially their own balance, their own wallet, and they can connect it to their apps as they see fit. And it's sort of like I'm taking the responsibility for what they do, and it's that responsibility because it's still non-custodial.
No, it's custodial
Yeah, exactly.
It's non-custodial for Albi. It's custodial for me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, anyone who connects to your node, they have to have a certain level of trust, right? Because it's your money. Yeah, they have to trust that they can actually use it. If they have a balance, they should be able to spend it. So it's your responsibility to provide that service. But with Albi Hub, we tried to make that as easy and straightforward as possible.
Okay.
Well, that sounds like something we could do.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds interesting. I mean, I definitely want to give it a shot. I want to play with it.
Yeah, I mean, my brain hurts.
Yeah, me too.
My brain hurts. I mean, we're just trying to provide a bridge and provide a way to make it easy for someone who has Podverse to just say, get a wallet. Click this button. You've created a wallet. Now you need to fund it. And we're okay with providing that for an interim period, because I certainly like the idea of where you're going, where everyone gets their own node. But I think that's going to take a while. Pew! LSPs are new. Everything's new. Channel opens, cost on chain cost. There's a lot of stuff going on. But Dave and I have talked and said, well, you know, we can probably provide this as a bridge for a while. So that's what we're really looking to provide. And if that's something Albi Hub can do, then we'd love to see if we can try that out.
Yeah, cool. Now, I think like we are definitely working on the same thing, right? So we just need to make sure that our basis at Albi is right, is fine. So that's why we now need to invest a lot in like technical development and then can really see how we can lower the bar step by step and make sure people have a great, great onboarding experience there. And that, I think that will be a killer feature that Roland mentioned.
Is that a live product, Albi Hub, right now, or is that something that is still in development?
So Sam is using it. Oscar from Fountain is using it. James, I onboarded James and Julie Costello recently. Okay. That means we are slowly rolling it out step by step and get every week new users on board. So everybody's happy to sign up and try it out now. It's just not yet like publicly launched and no big buzz made around that.
Excellent. So Dave, sounds like you need to be onboarded, brother.
Yeah, onboard me, bro.
You need an onboarding.
Let's do it.
Hey, so just one more thing, just to clarify. If US users have a code that they have received, then they can or cannot open. there's no possibility for US users to receive an Albi wallet as we used to know it anymore, correct?
That's correct, but they can create an account with an invite code and we help them to get on Albi Hub.
Right, which means they have their own node.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So, okay. All right. I think we've gotten somewhere.
Yeah, Dave? I think so. I think so. I think we have the, I think we just need to be onboarded to Albi Hub and just start to play. Cause this is what I wanted to do with the Breeze SDK is get onboarded onto the Breeze SDK and see if we could, try to, sandbox a solution to show the app developers what to do. And then, but then Roy said that it was just that Breeze SDK was just not a good fit because of the channel ROI. And so that just didn't work out. So Albi Hub sounds like something that I need to onboard into and try to figure out. Cause I'm looking to do the legwork to figure out how it works so that I can then explain how to explain to app developers what they need to do. That's really my point of view is to try to be, educational.
That sounds awesome. Let's do that.
Okay. Yep.
So somehow we can hopefully create a solution that it's interesting that Oscar's doing that too. I like that. We can find a solution that will maybe allow Podcast Index to provide wallets for a while to app developers, Dave. Is that what I'm hearing you say? If we can figure out the hub thing?
Yeah, maybe. I think really it's just an exploratory thing on our part. I mean, we can definitely host some wallets. We did it through LNPay.
Yeah.
For 2 years, we could definitely host some wallets, but then, really if we can just like, that would be sort of the learning experience to then figure out how to teach other people how to run sort of community
nodes, wallets. Hubs.
Yeah, hubs. Kind of thing. And let us get a feel for what the investment looks like and that sort of thing. Yeah, I think it's just I think this is just where we're going to end up. I mean, we're going to end up in a situation where you're going to have people with wallets, full wallets that they just have to, learn how to understand themselves. But then you also are going to have those people potentially running, some of those people, some small percentage of those people running some hubs for other people that they know. And who knows how that works? I don't know. I think this is all a learning curve.
Yeah. I mean, I can totally see it for, on the incoming side, I can see like the Costellos who are onboarding artists and I can see them running an Albi hub for their artists. I can totally see that. Yeah. That makes a lot, because, sure. They'll have 10, 50, 100. I mean, I don't know how many artists they'll have. That I think is fantastic. It's really just how do we keep the other apps interesting in the value for value space? Because they all do it. It's just now they can't onboard new people. And that's just a shame because we're just losing momentum there. And I think, we don't want only one app to be seen as the only value for value app.
Yeah.
So,
I think we go down this road and see if it'll work.
Okay.
There's multiple apps. I mean, if it has to be all this stuff has to be doable by everybody. If it's not doable by everybody, then it's just not a real solution to a problem.
Right. Okay. Well, why don't we break for a song?
Yes.
I think we all need that. Speaking of value, there's a guy out there. I don't know if it's a guy or a band, Richard Greaser, which I found.
Great name.
Good name. Dick Greaser, Richard Greaser, and has a whole album out. And the whole album is about the McDonald's value meal. and a very nostalgic look at it. And where did it go? And okay. how come everything's so expensive? So I figured I'd give that one a whirl. This is I Remember the Days, Richard Greaser on 2.0.
I remember the days when times were tough. A dollar could buy you more than enough. A simple pleasure in a fast food line. McDonald's dollar menu, oh how you were mine. A cheeseburger, fries, and a small sundae. Little moments of joy that took the pain away. But now you're gone like a dream in the night. And I'm left here longing for that old delight. Sharing of stories with nothing to hide. We laughed and joke over value meals. Those golden arches, they knew how it feels. Now I see the prices and I feel strained. A simple comfort that's causing me pain. The memories linger, they don't fill me up. The loss of the menu, an empty cup. Oh, dollar menu, where did you go? In a world that's changing, you're the one thing I know. Piece of my heart, lost in the past. I'm grieving the days that went by so fast. Can I move on from something so dear? You were a beacon when the end was near. Now I'm left searching for a taste of the old. In a world that's forgotten the stories you told. Oh, dollar menu, where did you go? In a world that's changing, you're the one thing I know. Peace of my heart, in the past, I'm grieving the days that went by so fast. So here's to the times when life was more kind. With every small bite, a piece of mind. McDonald's on the menu will always recall. In my heart, you'll never fall.
I realize it is entirely possible that was completely created by AI. I'm not sure.
I think it's more than likely.
I mean, everything is auto-tuned these days, but I'm not sure. I've heard a lot of AI music that never, uh-huh. This has better structure than most, for sure. So I'm not sure.
I don't know. it's a mystery.
You know, pretty soon we'll just have AI music being played by AI disc jockeys and we'll all retire.
Oh yeah.
Just keep the sounds flowing, baby. Just keep it flowing.
At that point, it's just over.
Everyone says it's AI in the boardroom, but I don't know. How do we know?
Do we want to talk about LN address real quick since we have
We have the boys on. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Roland, are you up for a little discussion about LN Lightning address issues?
Sure.
Okay. All right. He's excited, Dave. He's raring to go. He's in the saddle.
Yeah, you're fired up. I can tell you're excited. So here's the issue. Let me explain to you. Are you, just for purposes of understanding here, are you familiar with the way that the value block, the value XML is described in an RSS feed?
Vaguely. I mean, I've set up a couple of test podcasts, but it's been a while, so.
Okay, so there's a value. So in the XML, there's a value tag, and that tag has children, which are value recipient tags that specify the addresses of the nodes where the key send payments are going to go. So, and they, and each one has a split amount, you know, it goes like that. So what the difficult, what Oscar proposed was that in, is that instead of explicitly declaring the Lightning node ID in the value recipient tag, that we would instead use a Lightning address. And so then the Lightning address would be resolved by the pay, by the payer, by the payment sender, so that you could have a level of indirection there, where if a host, if somebody that hosts a bunch of, somebody that hosts a host wallets for a bunch of feeds, if their node ID changes, they don't have to go and track down all the RSS feeds and change that that node pub key in all of those feeds. You with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. So then the issue, it was, you said, okay, well, let's do a Lightning address. And then the Lightning, so the Lightning address is going to specify the key send payment information, which would be the pub key of the node and a potentially a routing hint of a custom key and custom value. And that's fine, except if we're going to, Roy from Bree said, well, if we're going to fix this, if we're going to put this in place, we might as well think about the future as well. And let's look at Bolt 12 and other things that may be coming down the pipe. And let's try to sort of solve all this at once. So if we're going to make, if we're going to make apps go out and look for a Lightning address URL, a dot well-known URL to get this payment destination information, let's make it an options file so that you have an you would have a JSON structure, and the JSON structure would contain a property, the JSON object would contain a property called options, which is an array that has an array of objects, each object itself containing information about a payment destination. So that would be, one of them might be LNURLP. Another one would be, might be KeySend. Another one might be Bolt 12. You're essentially saying, for this user that I'm looking up, here's all the different ways they can receive a payment. That's the idea. Does that sound, number one, does that sound like, this spec is not defined anywhere. Currently, we have KeySend. Albie supports this, the dot well-known KeySend URL. And you also, I think, support LNURLP. But the idea here is just combining all these so we don't have to have a bunch of different dot well-known URL URIs. We could do, we could sort of combine what all of those different URIs specify into a single file that says, here is all the different ways you're, it's possible to send this person a payment.
I don't think the structure is too important, whether it's multiple well-known files or one file with a list of options, but I think it's a good idea, future-proofing, right? So that it, when you have the setup, like applications can try to pay with one of the supported options, right? And over time, as applications improve, they have better wallet support, they can upgrade to pay with Bolt 12, for example, which would have, you know, better privacy. Node runners wouldn't have to open public channels, which would make the network more performant as well. But at the same time, there's not much support for Bolt 12 yet. We're working on it, right? And I think Lightning addresses, for example, is a great intermediary solution for that. Even the Albi node infrastructure, we have the same issue because we have our old node with this pub key that we have to keep running because all these value tags and all these feeds, right? They all point to this node. We have to keep it online.
So I
think definitely having a Lightning address where you can, well, you know, that you can point to the destination, which can change without, it's a lot more flexible in my opinion. I guess there are some downsides, right? It's more difficult for application developers. They might have to support multiple payment methods. And going forward, all the existing apps will have to update to this format. I mean, we can make it as backward compatible as possible, but hopefully that does happen. I think Boomy would be a much better person to answer this question. But that's the best I can give you today.
So you think? Do you have an opinion on whether or not it should be something like a? Because here's the difficulty. I can see it both ways. Like, on the one hand, it's really nice to have one place to check all the different payment methods where you can say, okay, I can pay you in these three, potentially four different ways. But then also, it's kind of once we get Bolt 12 broad adoption, I don't know that any of these other methods, I mean, Keysend is not going to, I don't think Keysend really survives the Bolt 12 transition because then it's not really necessary. So at that point, I don't know that, I mean, Bolt 12 seems like the native Lightning, what native Lightning payments should be doing already with blinded routes and all of that stuff. So I don't even see the point of Keysend after Bolt 12, and I really don't see the point of LNURL after Bolt 12, because Bolt 12 is essentially doing the same thing as LNURLP, just under the covers and in a better way. So at the, then I'm like, well, then we don't really need an options file because there's not even any options anymore. There's just one way.
But this will take years to happen, right?
Woo! Agreed. Years.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree. I guess that's
there you go, Dave. Years. We're early, brother. We're early in the process. We're very early.
Well, I guess you're right. I mean, it's because here, you know, this ended up being a can of worms. It's like, once I started looking at the structure after this new thing, I'm like, well, this sort of, if you start specifying an options file URL in the pay value recipient tag, then all of a sudden the Keysend, the method equals Keysend in the value tag parent doesn't really make any sense anymore.
Eventually, I guess.
Immediately. Because you say, you know, like the, currently the value tag specifies, you know, a type Lightning and method Keysend.
Right.
Then inside that structure, you have various recipients and they just have addresses in them. And those are all the Keysend addresses. Well, if we put in a Lightning address where you're looking up an options file and it gives you the option for Keysend or Bolt 12 or anything like that, well, then now, you know, Then now it's Keysend method on the value tag doesn't make any sense because they may not be paying with Keysend. They may be paying with Bolt 12 or LNURL or whatever. So I'm just thinking that it sort of negates the entire, it messes up the whole structure. So I mean, I thought this was going to be simple when I first did it, but now I'm starting to think that this doesn't make, well, yeah, Eric, it did make sense to have method Keysend apply to all the recipients because it made sense at the time because it was assuming that a single app, because that's all we had. It's assuming that the app, that's all it could send was Keysend. Like, it was only going to be able to do one thing, like, it was either going to be able to do Hive or Lightning or whatever this thing was. so then you had that idea, but now I think it makes less sense now, because now you can, like you're saying, you can push that key send. It's being pushed down into the value recipient. So I don't know. I'm going to have to rethink this whole thing. And I've got it halfway written up, and I think I may just have to like rearrange a lot of stuff. But I don't want to break backwards compatibility. So I don't know. This is like trying to jump through a flaming hoop is what this is.
This is why God created the weekend, Dave. For stuff like this.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Final thing for Moritz and Roland. Now, I know Albi is a German company, as far as I know. Moritz, you're in Switzerland. Roland, you don't even sound German. Where are you from?
He's the international man of mystery.
No, we need to know. Where are you from, Roland?
New Zealand.
Ah, New Zealand.
Ah, I got it.
You did. And are you in New Zealand right now?
No, I've opted out. I live in Thailand now.
Ah, it makes it even better. What time is it in Thailand?
2:30 a.m.
Oh, brother.
That's okay.
Oh, no. Oh,
I wish we had. No, I'm sorry. Well, I was going to ask, you know, who you guys thought was going to win the European Cup, the UEFA. Is it UEFA Cup? Is that what it is? UEFA? What is it?
No, it's not the UEFA.
No, what is it? It's the European Championship.
Like the European Championship. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, national level.
So, of course, I'm rooting for the Netherlands, obviously. How about their Mannschaft? Are you rooting for them, Moritz? Are you going for the Swiss?
No, I think like Germany had a very good start in the tournament, so I'm optimistic they will reach the final.
They always seem to somehow. it's always Germany, France. Doesn't matter if it's football. Doesn't matter if it's World War One or Two. It's always Germany, France for some reason. It's very weird.
I just feel like we owe Roland an apology for having to sit through that auto-tune song at 2:30 in the morning.
It wasn't all that bad.
I actually liked it.
Yeah, I'm concerned with myself.
Woke you up.
I'm concerned with myself now that I liked it too. I'm like, what is wrong with me? What's going on? I want to thank Moritz and Roland for joining us. Certainly, Roland, so late. Really appreciate that. If you want to, you're more than welcome to hang out. We're just going to thank some people. These, of course, are people who have also sent value. To you guys, we put you in the value block. So I presume that's being received. Moritz, did you see it come in?
Yeah,
I'm getting emails.
Roland.
Well, I'm sorry, that was a bit of crosstalk.
Sorry. So yeah, I'm running the LB Hub with a few public channels. So I'm receiving all these split payments and it's working great.
Oh, good.
Thanks,
good.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Good.
Awesome.
Let me just thank the people who were... who are boosting live. And of course, Sam Sethi comes in with 1,000 sats. And he says, this discussion was so overly complex and no podcast listener is going to understand this. Well, no, this is also, the boardroom is not for podcast listeners. It's for the development people. He says, people don't pay for podcasting today. So if there are too many technical hoops to set up a wallet, they won't bother. I agree. And I think that Sam probably has a jump on this. He's deep into the Albi Hub, and you know, we onboard Dave and we'll start to figure stuff out. And if Podcast Index can help with a bridge solution, we're happy to. So we definitely want to make this work for everybody. 5,100 sats from Boomy, who gave up his spot. And he says, opening channels are the KYC process for the self-sovereign person. Interesting point.
Yeah. Yeah.
D's laughs with 1,000 sats. This boost is a shameless promotion to hear my name mentioned. Okay. on a side note, any thoughts of a leaderboard similar to the art generator for the end of show mixes or having categories for the best for the big baller booster and troll of the year included in the podcast 2.0 awards? Okay. So there's no looking forward to the pod awards. He says, nope, that's not going to happen. Yeah, we need to get Wallet 111. He's down under, and he says, hook me up with that fat pipe. All right. C Brooklyn 112 with 1,000 sats just came in. We've got another 1,000 from Sam Sethi. Complexity is failed simplicity. Normal people don't want to create wallets, etc., but we need them to understand V4V, and they have tokens called sats to give podcasters and have a one-click top-up, which we have with Stripe. We need to hide the tech. I'm in total agreement. Oh my gosh, okay, here we go. Here's another from Sam Sethi. Surprise? Nope. True fans already uses Albi Hub today and it works. We do not have to change our Albi API. We're going to create virtual wallets to start with. It means two clicks to get on board and we'll give them a wallet with 5K sats. It removes 5 to 6 steps we had to do before with Albi. We already have Stripe to sats integration so we can get people to top up this wallet. We will also enable withdrawal for podcasters of sats back to fiat. Sam, we would love to know what you're doing.
So, and now he's just rubbing it in because he's got access to it and I don't.
Yeah, he's like, we'd love to know how you're doing it, brother, because we just want to help everybody do this. Okay. Cole McCormick, 2222. It's about time Curry gets back to work. Okay. P.S.
Okay.
Did you know Biden is a clone? Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. 999 from Gene Everett. Thank you very much. 1948 from Sir Brian of London. He says, I drove a brown Buick Custom Regal from Chicago to Little Rock, Paris, Texas, Dallas, the Grassy Knoll, Austin, San Antonio, New Orleans, Memphis, and back to Chicago in 3 weeks. An awful car. Oh, there you go.
Don't tell Roland.
No, 21,948, also from Sir Brian of London. Ancient computers ranged in the long caves deep in the bowels of the planet tick away the dark millennia and the age hang heavy on their dusty data banks.
Stop drinking, Brian.
6969 from Hey Citizen. He says, please, Adam's new album. We need this. Yes, I'll work on it. Apparently, I can just do AI and fool myself. Sir Doug with 5,000 sats, first live boost, he says. 10,000 from Chris Las 10,000. Nice to have you guys back. 10,000 from Chad F. from Podverse. This boostergram is being sent from the Podverse app using my own node connected to Albi. There you go. Mary Kate Ultra. Takes a second to look at it. What is this? Oh, Mary Kate Ultra. 15,555 sats boosting so the boardroom knows to head over to liveislit.com on Sunday, June 30th at 4 p.m. for the Satellite Skirmish, a V4V Battle Royale. Boost your favorite DMU artists live to ensure they win the Battle of the Bands. And nice. I think, the Tone Wrecker, last one, 3333, a rainy day in Minneapolis is perfect for cranking out some additional college or collage art pieces and catching this live episode today. And over to you, Dave, for the last 14 days worth of boosts and PayPals.
Yeah, there's going to be quite a few. Roland, seriously, if you need to get some sleep, brother, we're not offended if you drop out. Buzzsprout, $1,000.
Oh, thank goodness.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Buzzsprout keeping the engine room running. Thank you guys. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah. Appreciate that.
Nice and warm. Thank you, Kevin and Tom and all the guys over there. Appreciate y'all. We got Blueberry, $350.
Whoa.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
The hosting company's coming in strong with the value for value. Thank you.
You need to go to Holland more often. from the Blueberry team, lots of internal discussions on V4V and sats need to make it easier for listeners and podcasters. We get it. We get it. They don't. So a fiat token solution is critical. Let's not forget who we're serving here. Go podcasting.
What does he mean by fiat token solution?
Just onboarding.
Okay.
Go podcasting!
Trying to make it easy.
Well, it sounds like Sam Sethi has it all figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, maybe Sam can run a back end for the hosting companies. I mean, like.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Well, we're happy to help. We just need to understand how we can fit in.
A VSP, value service provider.
Ooh, I like that.
Sir Pete. We know Sir Pete. $55.55. He says, message. Adam and Dave, great work on shaping and preserving the next level of podcasting. I follow your discussions closely and have to and have committed to running with Scissors Lifestyle with our own V4B podcast called It's Just a Model. Here's some fun coupons.
Ooh, thank you.
Thank you, Sir Pete.
Fiat fun coupons in the bank.
Yep. We got $50 from Podverse. Thank you, Mitch and Creon over there at Podverse. Guys. Thank you. Yep. Jesse Anderson sent a $33.33. There's no note from Jesse. Jesse Hunter, $10. That was a one-off. Thank you, Jesse Hunter. And Kevin Bay sent us $5. His phrase says, this is the monthly interest from the endowment fund. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting to you, brother. Thank you.
And we got some boosts. We got, let's see, let me fire up the boost machine here. Oh, we got Mike Dell, 1701. That's a Star Trek boost. He says, Thistle Fountain. He says, SM7B, not MB7 or SB7 or whatever. That's a Toddism.
Did I say it wrong? Did I say it incorrectly?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Andrew Grummet, 2222 from the Wherever app. He says, thanks for inviting me to the boardroom. It was a blast. I downloaded it 10 extra times to run up the numbers.
Yeah. All our advertisers will be happy. Remember to set the automatic download on your iOS app.
Bend over. Here comes the downloads. Mike Dell, again, 1701. He says, can't type today. I passed my check ride today.
Right on, license? Brother. Yes, yes. Welcome to the exclusive and rather small club of general aviation pilots.
Sir Brian of London, 18444, through Castomatic, says, we had a good day here today. Calls for a bigger boost and a number you'll never fully decode. V4V.app wallets will be available for send and receive very soon.
Yeah, he's working on his own solution, which incorporates Hive with an Albi-like API. So,
yeah, he sent us videos of people like buying steak dinner in Colombia or something with his V4V app.
It's, yeah. It looks crazy. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it works. Cool. Yeah. Very slick. Randall Black, 2000 sats through Podcast Index, through the website. That's using Albi. It says, Albi's driving me nuts. They need to decide the route they're taking and make it easier to onboard or offboard users. Well,
I think you heard that, from the horse's mouth today. I think we have a plan. Yeah.
Yeah. 10,000 sats from Mary Oscar, also known as Oscar Mary. Through Fountain, he says, great to hear more of the history of podcasting. What's he talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, through Andrew Grummet.
Yes, of course. If you haven't heard that episode, it's good if you want to hear some of the early days of podcasting, the stuff that no one ever talks about.
That was 2 weeks ago. I've already forgotten.
Yes, 2 weeks ago. The previous 180, board meeting 182.
All right. 1893 sats from Red Bull through Breeze. Oh, love Breeze. Haven't seen much boost action from Briggs lately. He says, I love your music. We love you too, Red Bull.
Must have been for the song.
Bill Prague, the Hive guy, through sats, through Fountain. He says, 2,000 sats. He says, I just sent myself custodial Hive to Fountain using V4V.app. Could be magic or it could be Brian. No idea, but it works.
I wonder if Brian's actually creating invoices, you know, like, oh, invoice here, you know, click, 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 click. If it's all automatic or if he's doing it manually.
I wonder if Bill Prague is Brian's.
There you go.
Alt account.
That's the question.
Here we go. 6969 from Hey Citizen, the Podverse. He says, I don't actually care about you guys. I'm just boosting the song.
There you go.
Okay.
Love you too, man. Love you.
Yeah. He sent us another 6969. He says, okay, maybe I care a little bit. We love you too, Hey Citizen. Mumak, 10,000 sats through Fountain. He says, sorry I missed the show live, but listened in as a download from the air on the way to Cali. Regarding bands at Bitcoin, please use the Embassy Suites as your meetup location. Food, drink, and all things how V4V works. We should have a full schedule next week.
All right.
No, I wonder if Mumac. Mumac. I think that's the mom of Ainsley Costello.
Oh, Mumac. I thought that was Music Mama.
Yeah, Music Mama. Yeah, Music Mama.
Music Mama.
Macintosh, Satchel Richards, 1111 through Fountain. He says, if we are going to consider major re-architecture of P2O, SAT streaming, boosting, etc., maybe Fedimints?
Yeah, it's another thing I got to look into.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't understand them yet.
No, I don't either. Tone Wrecker 3333 says a rainy day in Minneapolis. Oh, did you already read that one? A rainy day in Minneapolis.
I read in this. Right. Now we're okay, at the delimiter. Yes.
Yep. Comic strip blogger 24,000 sats through Fountain. He says, "Howdy, Dave and Adam. I'd like again to recommend a podcast called Just Two Good Old Boys by two Texans, Ben and Gene. They talk about fun stuff. Quote from the last episode. Gene, happy Father's Day. Ben, thank you. I would say happy Father's Day to you, but Gene, I'm not a father, so it wouldn't be correct. Ben, that you know of. Gene, yeah, I'm pretty sure. You know I know that because I'm not paying any alimony. Find their podcast at www.justtwogoodoldboys.com. Yo, CSB."
Totally riveting.
That's great. That's must-see TV right there.
Can't wait.
Yeah. That's it. That's our group.
Ah, very nice.
Oh, wait.
You got your monthlies? While you're looking at that, I'll just read you the Tallycoin donations. Tallycoin, we have closed our doors. Thanks for all the memories.
Yeah, nice. So. What it should say is this. We've closed our doors. Thank you to Dreb Scott.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. He's the only guy that
the
ever
only
used
person
it.
Was ever using it. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Monthlies. Basil Phillip, $25. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Mitch Downey, $10. Christopher Harabarek, $10. Terry Keller, $5. Silicon Florist, $10. Chris Cowan, $5. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Derek J. Visker, the greatest name in podcasting, $21. Yaron Rosenstein, I'm not sure, $1. Damon Kasajak, $15. Jeremy Gerds, $5. New Media Productions, that's Todd and Rob, $30.
Yeah. Thank you.
Michael Hall, $5.50. Timothy Voice, $10. Trevor, Satan's lawyer, $5. Do you think that's on his LinkedIn?
I hope so.
Yeah. Jorge Hernandez, $5. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Cone Glotzbach, $5. And Christopher Reamer, $10.
And thank you all very much for supporting us with your value. The whole project, the podcast, everything is value for value. You put back into it what you get out of it, whatever it's worth to you. Support it. Support your podcast index. Support your podcast app. Support everybody. This is how we move forward. And we want to thank Roland and Moritz for hanging in there, for supporting Podcasting 2.0. It's been phenomenal what you guys have done. And we look forward to solving problems, making it more robust and more sovereign in the future. So again, thank you both for coming today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. No, really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah. And onboard Dave. set it up because, you know, Dave is a busy guy, so let's onboard him. Brother Dave.
Hook me up. Is Roland still awake? Is Roland here?
He's still here. Yeah, he's still
awake. Oh, man, you are a trooper.
Yeah. Are you in Bangkok?
No, up north.
Chiang Mai, Shanghai?
Mei Hong Song.
Mei Hong Song. Okay. I think I had dinner with her once. It's nice. All right, everybody. Brother Dave, thank you so much. And everybody who jumped into the boardroom on a Saturday. We really appreciate it. We'll be back Friday with another board meeting with the participants of Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Squishy is the right word.